Now, Ireland is producing more wind energy than ever before, but a significant amount of it is never making it onto the national grid. New figures show enough renewable electricity to power around 667,000 homes was effectively wasted during the first half of this year. Why? Because the grid couldn't carry it. The wind energy sector is now calling for urgent investment in the electricity network, warning that outdated infrastructure is holding back Ireland's clean energy ambitions. To discuss this, I'm joined by Justin Moran, the Director of External Affairs at Wind Energy Ireland. Good morning to you, Justin.
Good morning, Ollie, and to your listeners.
Now that we're chatting and I'm looking out the window at the trees moving again, the warm spell is over, and if anything, it's as windy as it's ever been this year. But, I mean, wind above anything on an island nation like Ireland must be one of our greatest resources.
It really is, and as you said, we're providing, I think, around 50% of the country's electricity right now as you and I are speaking. And the advantage of wind energy is it's providing clean, affordable and secure electricity. It's power we don't have to import. We don't have to import gas. We don't have to import electricity from other countries. We can rely on our own resources. And we've actually had a very good first 6 months of the year. Wind has provided about 36% of the country's electricity. But as you pointed out in the introduction there, we've lost a huge amount, enough to power every home in Dublin, Westmeath and Wicklow. And the reason for that is we have a lot of wind energy in Galway and in Mayo and in Donegal and other parts of the west and the northwest. And the grid isn't able to take that electricity from where it's generated to where it's needed in the larger cities like Galway City and Dublin. And that's a real problem, because when we're told to switch off and stop producing electricity, we have to bring on expensive gas generation instead. So what ends up then is that everyone listening to us is paying more for dirtier electricity because we're not able to get that power onto the grid. So we really need to invest in the power lines, the underground cables, the substations that will enable us to reinforce the electricity grid. And we've a good grid, but most of the transmission system in Ireland was actually built in the 1970s and 1980s. Now, good bits of it have been upgraded since, but the core part of the grid is 30, 40, 50 years old. And we're living in 2026. If we want an electricity grid, not just for renewable energy, this isn't just for wind farms, but if we want to build new housing estates, if we want to attract investment outside the M50, if we want to be able to be more resilient with the next time a storm even hits, if we want to cut energy bills, we need an electricity grid that can bring clean, affordable energy from the wind farms and solar farms that produce it to the people listening to you and me talking now, Ollie.
So I'm just trying to get my head around how this works, Justin. I mean, if the electricity is being generated, but the grid can't carry it, where does it go, or what happens it?
Effectively, we're told to switch off. So if you're in a situation in Galway, for example, where you have wind farms that are producing electricity, but we don't have a grid network strong enough to take that power out of Galway and move it to wherever it's needed, then those wind farms in Galway will be told to switch off or to reduce the amount of electricity. I often say one of the best ways to understand the electricity network is to think of it like a road network, and think of it like trying to put a motorway's worth of cars onto a local road. It just doesn't work. You're not able to put that volume of cars onto a smaller road, and you're not able to put that volume of electricity onto an electricity grid that can't accommodate it. So what we need to do is to see new electricity lines, new substations to be built. And to be fair to the government on this, and to be fair to Airgrid, they do have a strategy, and they are setting aside the money to invest in this and to build that infrastructure. So that's a real positive thing. And I think as those plans move forward, I think we need to be giving them as much support as we possibly can. But electricity infrastructure like that can take 10, 15 years to build. And in the meantime, to deal with the lost wind energy, the wasted wind energy, as you called it in the introduction, there's other things we can do. And one example that we would be looking at is to enable batteries to be located in the same location as a wind farm. So if my wind farm is told reduce the amount of electricity that you're producing, instead of switching off, I can put that electricity in a battery and then we can use it later on when the wind isn't blowing.
But hold on a minute now, Justin. I mean, there's kind of wind turbine projects cropping up in rural Galway in particular, left, right and centre. But you're telling me they're proposing all these wind farms and yet we don't have the grid network to be able to even satisfy the electricity that might be produced by them.
Well, I think we would be able, if we had a stronger grid, we'd be able to get more out of them. You know, if you look at the performance of Irish wind farms over the first 6 months of the year, as I said, we provided 36%. That's up on last year. June last month was the best June we've ever had in our industry for the amount of electricity that's been produced from wind farms. So we are seeing that difference. And, you know, we're seeing that in consumer, or we will hopefully see that in consumer bills yesterday or in the near future, because what we saw in June was, because of the large volumes of wind energy that were on the system, for the first time in 3 months, wholesale electricity prices started to fall backwards. Now, not by a lot, by about 4 or 5%, but still moving down rather than going up, which is what they've been doing since the war broke out between the United States and Iran. So building those wind farms, connecting new wind farms helps. But the point we're trying to make is we're not getting the full value out of them that we should be getting. We're not seeing the full benefit for consumers. We're not seeing carbon emissions fall more quickly. We're not being able to attract in investment that is looking for that kind of electricity production, that is looking for clean power to power their factories, to power their installations. And that's why we really need to strengthen the electricity grid.
Strengthening that grid, I mean, do you think that will ultimately lead to increased electricity and ultimately lower prices, or is the price of energy constantly going to be going up anyway?
No, we believe and we would want to see the price of electricity fall in this country. And I think what you're going to see, if we can connect that power, is we are going to see a fall in electricity prices over the long term, because the challenge that we have when we have to switch off a wind farm anywhere in this country, what's brought on instead is a more expensive gas generator. And the way the market works is it's always a more expensive gas generator. So that's what's driving up the prices. If you look at the price of electricity in Ireland in June, the average price of electricity in Ireland was about 136 euros for a unit of electricity that we produce. On the days when we have the most wind power, so the really windy days when we were able to get a lot of power on the electricity grid, that wholesale price fell to about 111 euros. And then in the days when we didn't have a lot of wind, or we weren't able to get that wind in the system, the price rose to about 176. So you see there, Ollie, a really big swing of about 60 euros for each unit of electricity that we produce, from the days when we have a lot of wind to the days when we don't have very much wind, or we're not able to get that wind in the system. So the more wind power, the more solar power we can get in the electricity grid, the more we can push down the wholesale price of electricity. Now, your bill, as you know well, it's not just the wholesale price of electricity. There's network charges and there's VAT and there's other things there. But the wholesale price is the biggest single driver of the electricity bill. So the more we can do to push that down, the more we can help Galway businesses, Galway families who are struggling with high electricity bills.
You still wonder, though, why we're so high. I mean, the highest in Europe. We're ahead of Germany and Belgium and probably double the EU average as well. So, I mean, there's probably a lot more factors than just that as well in leading to why we're being charged so much.
No, you're absolutely right. It's I mean, the need to get wind of the system is a critical one. So is the need to build more interconnectors so that we're able to import cheaper electricity from abroad. So we have three interconnectors at the moment from the east coast of Ireland, all connecting to Britain. In 2028, I believe, EirGrid is going to complete a new interconnector to France, and that will enable us to import cheaper electricity from France when the price there is lower than it is in Ireland. And we're also going to be able to export electricity to France when you know, the price of electricity in Ireland is cheaper. That's going to be really important in terms of helping consumer bills. And when you look at other European countries, one of the advantages, because they're not islands, they're very deeply interconnected. They've lots of different connections, so they can get the power from wherever it's cheaper. French electricity prices are some of the cheapest in Europe. If we have an interconnector that gets power from France into Ireland, that's really, really helpful in prices. Another thing we need to do is we need to try and improve our gas fleet. So we have gas generation provides but it's the number one provider of electricity in Ireland at the moment. A lot of the Irish gas fleet is quite old. New gas generators that are more efficient can generate the same amount of electricity for less gas, and that can help with price as well. But the single biggest driver, and the ESRI carried out a report in April which identified this as well, the single biggest driver is our dependency on imported gas for electricity generation. So the more wind farms, the more solar farms, the more battery storage, the stronger we can make the electricity grid, the less we can rely on imported gas. And what the ESRI report also found was the country where we've seen the biggest drop in electricity prices since 2020 is Spain. And the reason for that is Spain went absolutely hell for leather, building as much wind, solar, battery and grid as they possibly can. And they've seen their wholesale electricity prices absolutely drop through the floor.
And yet there's a huge antipathy to wind energy, especially in rural Ireland, where, again, I suppose the engagement with a lot of wind energy companies is questionable with local communities as well. There's a lot of divisiveness there. Embrace wind energy and developments in their locality.
I actually do, and to an extent, and this isn't to dismiss the opposition you've identified, Ollie, and I'll come back to that in a second. I think we're seeing it already. You know, if you look at some of the wind farms we've already built in this country, Mount Lucas in Offaly gets 40,000 to 50,000 visitors a year. The local community organises a park run. Galway Wind Park in Uachtaráid is one of the absolutely most beautiful places I've ever visited in this country, and I've taken my own daughter there because they have tens of kilometres of walking terrain, trails, people to explore the area. Schlieffbahn Wind Farm in South Roscommon, again, walking trails, playgrounds. I've been there and I've seen people from the local area come and bring their kids, bring their dogs for a walk. So I do think you can see wind energy integrated into those communities. And when you look at polling that's been done, whether it's been done by us or it's been done by anyone else, support for wind farms is strong right across the country, including in rural Ireland. Now, that isn't to dismiss what you've identified, which I think is a really strong point, which is local communities that hear a wind farm is coming into their area and they get concerned, they get worried. Our job as an industry is to try and address those concerns. I think our community engagement has improved significantly in the 9 or 10 years we've been working this industry. I think it needs to continue to improve. And we need to continue to show local communities that we're listening and that we're trying to adapt the wind farms to try and meet the concerns and the needs that they've identified. And I think we can do that. And when we do that, we can then build wind farms that are part of the communities that are investing in those local communities. Galway Wind Park, again, invests a significant amount of money in local communities around the area, around Uachtaráid. There's a number of people working in that wind farm who are from the Galway area. So you can see those benefits accumulate in a local community.
Listen, Justin, thanks a million for chatting to us this morning. That's Justin Moran, Director of External Affairs at Wind Energy Ireland. I suppose, look, ultimately, we're here talking about trying to increase the grid infrastructure. And, you know, again, you'd have to look, and it isn't for Justin to be trying to solve, but a lot of our planning regulations are at fault here. Why would it have to take 10 to 12 years if you start now investing hundreds of millions of euros for something like that to happen? It should be done in a much shorter timescale than that.